The conflict between the Israeli military and Hamas rages on. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, more than 800 Palestinians have been killed. As of Friday, Israel has lost 32 soldiers and at least 3 civilians. And each side uses very different words to tell its very different story. As the Vienna-based International Press Institute found, even seemingly innocuous language can alienate or anger one side or the other. So with the help of 3 Israeli and 3 Palestinian journalists, it set out to identify those hot-button words and phrases that the media throw around and create a glossary that offers context and more neutral language. The results are assembled in a handbook called Use with Care. Naomi Hunt, editor of the glossary, says they knew the task was pretty nearly impossible.
There is no such thing as objective language in this conflict because objective means 2 different things to 2 different sides. And so the best you can hope for is to sort of describe how different groups might respond to different terminology based on their own experiences and their collective memory and so on.
Were there any particular words that were especially fraught?
You know, I think almost every word was fairly fraught.
Give me an example. Read your entry on caught in the crossfire.
Okay. Reports occasionally use the expression caught in the crossfire when referring to people who are killed during an exchange of fire, which implies, first, that the victims were civilians, and, secondly, that the killing was accidental. Until it has been clarified whether the action was purposeful and whether the person killed was really a civilian, it is better to simply say they were killed.
I marveled at how you tiptoed your way through words of death, execution, murder, liquidation, neutralization, targeted killing.
Any word to say that you killed somebody that implies either the guilt or innocence of the victim or the guilt or innocence of the person doing the killing is going to be loaded for someone else.
Yeah, and if you use the word murder, you're saying one thing. If you use the word neutralization, you're saying another. Generally, you're into killed or assassinated.
At most, assassinated for a political figure.
I also want you to read the entry called Measures.
Measures. There is a Palestinian view that the word measures, used, for example, as part of the phrase economic measures or security measures, minimizes actions such as blockades or raids imposed by Israel on Palestinian civilians. Journalists should explain what measures were taken, what justification was given, and what the response was on the other side.
That one could really sneak up and bite you if you were writing on deadline.
That, I must say, was one of the words where it surprised me that the Palestinian journalists found that word troubling. The same with the word development. The Palestinian journalists felt quite strongly that the word development has a positive connotation of improvement when often it is used in the context of construction in the East Jerusalem or the West Bank that might involve, for example, the destruction of Palestinian orchards or homes and property, which for them, therefore, is clearly negative.
And so the advice of the handbook?
Was to use the word construction.
There were certainly some words where even the handbook concedes no alternative or neutral language could be found.
That's right. The separation barrier is an example. The separation barrier was put up between Israel proper and the West Bank, as well as Israel proper in Gaza, and is basically a wall at which there are checkpoints preventing the flow of people between those territories. It's an extremely sensitive issue. So there's a view on one hand that it's a security fence or that it's a security barrier, but there's a Palestinian view that that implies that all Palestinians are violent criminals who need to be kept away. On the other hand, some of the Palestinian terms for the separation that you do see in some Palestinian media, like apartheid wall, for example, are deeply offensive to Israelis who believe that there was a legitimate reason to install the barrier in the first place.
So you call it the separation barrier.
That was the alternative word that we arrived at following a lot of discussion and a lot of back and forth, and which I think probably made nobody happy, which was our only indication that it might be the best one.
It is kind of interesting that when you try to shear words and phrases, of their political meanings, and of their emotional contexts, you end up reducing the amount of information they provide. I mean, you either can choose them telling one half of the story, or the other half of the story, or less of the story altogether.
I wonder if we're reducing the amount of information. I think certainly the amount of poetry, the alternatives that we provide, I wouldn't say that they're the most riveting use of language, but that's precisely because it's the emotional baggage of words that is offensive to people on the other side. I believe our project on the Israel-Palestinian conflict is about 3 years old at this point, not very long. But even in that small time span, we see that the same conflict comes up in a similar shape over and over again, that the communication between the two sides, if anything, seems to be worsening and not improving. And so this guidebook, we hope for what it's worth, that it will help people who are interested in at least following along as they read the news, because it helps you to see how the language that you're consuming also reflects a certain perspective.
Naomi, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Naomi Hunt is a senior press freedom advisor at the International Press Institute based in Vienna and editor of Use with Care, a reporter's glossary of loaded language in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We will link to Use with Care on our website. Go check it out.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.